Sunday morning, May 22nd.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together today.
Yes.
Service. Ask that you would be abundant here with us, abundant in our lives, that we would find a place of your truth, that your truth would flow, that we would receive your truth, that we would express your truth, Lord. And Lord, that it would make us different by your Spirit. Yes. Do that good work by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I have done a lot of thinking lately about the fact that it says in Romans 8:26, it says that we know not how to pray as we ought. And there are a lot of other scriptures. You know, you read one scripture and you can isolate it, but you read a lot of other scriptures that go along with it. And Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he said, the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so I have a lot of speculation on that, and I don't necessarily know that everything is true, but I've come to the conclusion that, of course, the most powerful force I think that's ever existed is God. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everything came from Him, and so, as is, he not only, you know, all of the weapons that men have, is that no weapon formed against God will prosper. And there's not anything, and that even means the atom bomb or whatever. I don't know why God even allows those things to exist, but He does. And those are like a small firecracker as far as He's concerned. And it says that in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is powerful and quick, and it's quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, all they had to deal with in those days that they could understand was it would be a sword. And like the sword that Peter got, cut the high priest's ear off, you know. Or not his, not the high priest, but his servant, cut his ear off. And I would imagine that that sword is pretty sharp, you know what I mean? And, but it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the bone from the marrow. And all of a sudden, we're not talking about the Word, we're talking about the characteristics of God, who can separate the thoughts and can know the intents of men's hearts, and He can do these things. Well, God can do that. And we're looking at a universe or a world that has zillions of people in it. And according to the scriptures, God knows when a sparrow falls from the earth. Or you know, I mean, he counts the hairs on men's heads. I mean, this is who He is. Is that even like a computer or something that we have? He's a different makeup. And I thought, you know what, there is not anything like him. And so when it comes to prayer, and we're praying to him, who decides what is the right prayer? Me or God? So if we know not how to pray as we should, who determines that? Is it God the one that we pray to? And anyway, I've got a lot of thinking about that lately. I realize that God is a lot bigger than what any person can imagine or can think. And he's able to do things that are impossible to anything else. You know, I mean, he could... he says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And what does he mean by that? Does that mean that then if somebody prays in a certain vein, like Elijah did, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, does that mean then that we can be praying in the right vein and be overpowering demonic forces? It says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers, and and so forth. So it appears to me from that we. We can't do it just by knowing the force or knowing a demon, but it looks like that. It says we are co-workers together with God. Am I making any sense at all?
Yes.
That God wants us to be praying about spiritual things, even though we don't know what they are. That don't make any sense. And yet it does. And especially when we have, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he that prays in a tongue, his spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful. That's what it says. If your understanding is unfruitful, then what exactly are you, what's going on? Somehow God is also affecting our prayer, what we're praying for. I know this doesn't make a lot of sense, but to me it does, because I've been doing a lot of thinking about it. That matters,
Well, one of the features of it is that you can't explain it real well. Mm-hmm. That's its nature. And so, no wonder you have some difficulty in it.
Yeah.
You're trying to explain the unexplainable, and it's unexplainable.
It is.
Yeah.
And yet, the Bible is full of it.
We can get kind of a sense of it. We look through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
James talks about your prayers don't get answered because you pray amiss, consuming it upon your own lust. Well, sometimes you pray amiss and your prayer does get answered. I'm thinking about them asking for meat when they're out in the desert, and they got meat,
Yep.
They got a whole bunch of quail and enough quail so they got sick of it, So.
But that wasn't a good prayer either.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was not a good prayer.
No, because
they should have been happy with the manna.
Yeah, they should have been happy with what God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who died because of their lust for the quail.
Yeah.
just not the nature of the natural to be happy with what we have. We're happy for what we don't have yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that the one that decides what prayer is God. And so, and we think that, you know, we're just going to pray and God's going to answer it. Not necessarily.
No.
I'm not exactly sure how to finish that statement, but...
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, when it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that he gave the example of Elijah who prayed and no rain for, what, 3.5 years? Many prayed and the rain really came. You know, that was what God wanted, though. You know, I don't know that it took Elijah's prayer to stop that rain. You know, Israel was way, way, way out of order.
And it says in the same vein in James, it says that Elijah was a man of like passions. He was just like we are.
Yeah.
And...
All he was doing was what God was intending anyway. Now, I don't know. Maybe it took Elijah's prayer to make sure that it happened, even though that was in line with what God wanted.
After he got rid of a lot of the priests of Baal, then Jezebel threatened his life, and he ran for it.
Yeah.
That's the great Elijah.
I don't think he was sitting around and said, you know, I think I'm going to make it stop reading for 3.5 years. I don't think that was where he was at.
I heard from the Spirit.
I
sure.
think he heard from God.
Yeah.
You know, and he was obedient. Of course, God always likes to use men to do a lot of his. He doesn't always, and he doesn't have to, but he chooses to, you know. So...
I guess we do kind of have to figure that even though it was in line with God's intentions and whatever, it would not have happened without Elijah's prayer. You know, it availeth much, according to James. So,
well, Jesus was a co-worker together with the first church. And in the last verse of the book of Mark, it says that he was working with the church, and there were signs following, and the signs were because that Jesus was actually a part of the church, of what was going on. And a lot of those things, they bypass us. We don't see them, you know.
So I was listening this last week, the last couple of days. I think I might have been on the way over to the cities. And I heard that setting. And it really caught me. And I thought, Lord, when can we start doing this? With signs accompanying them. And so, somewhere here in the service, I want to read that setting of scripture, and I want to pray for each one of you to be anointed. Because it's God's word, and I know we're believers, you know? And it's like, so, when, Lord? Or what, you know? And I'll tell you, I don't feel at all worthy to even bring it up and pray about it, you know? personally, but I thought, well, but then again, you know, maybe we can't be worthy necessarily right before we start doing some of his work. I don't know, you know, that's a, but it affected me enough that when I read it again this morning and I thought, I want to read this and pray this over us. You know? Now, it's still in his time, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm willing to try to be this, what it says, you know.
Go for it.
So, if you want, I'll do it right now. I'm just going to touch each one and say, pray. So, it's kind of funny because in verse 14 of the last chapter, I think it's 16 of Mark, it says, later he appeared to the leaven, and they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So he just rebuked them, right? And he said to them, and then he gives them a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized from the preaching will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Lord, just begin now to put that anointing on each one of us. And I'm probably going to keep reading it. So, Lord, bless and anoint my brother Corky. And it says, so then after the Lord spoke unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and here's the verse that was quoted, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with accompanying signs. And Lord, in this anointing, I pray for healing on Charles. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read this verse again. And I'm going to put the anointing on Glenn.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Receive
yes,
that in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak
thank
with
Lord.
New tongues.
Thank you, Lord.
And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Right.
Lord, just let that anointing come.
Yes.
And if I may, I want to pray the same verse for you, Josh.
Yes.
And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, just give that gift of the Holy Spirit right now.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Lord, put your anointing on Jill.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to ask that you really have your arms around her, Lord, because
yes.
she is with child.
Yes.
And we want that protected, Lord.
Yes, that's right.
So,
that's right.
And it says, and by no means, well, they would take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no, by no means hurt them.
Yes.
They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Thank you, Lord.
And let them go out, confirming the word with accompanying signs.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
touch
you,
her, Lord.
Thank
touch
you.
Her.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord. Put this on Keith, Lord. Let this anointing come that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes, amen.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not will be condemned. And we've read that. I'm going to skip down. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through
yes.
accompanying signs.
Mm-hmm.
Put that anointing there, Lord. Put
yes.
that anointing there.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, anoint Chuck, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let him be one.
Yes.
Who will believe these signs
yes.
and will follow those who believe in my name, will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues.
Yes.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Give me that anointing right now, and they will recover. Recover Chuck, Lord.
Yes.
Recover
yes.
him, Lord.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Lord. In the
thank
name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yes.
Lord, let your anointing, let your healing, let all these fall upon Charlotte, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that she may somehow minister to her family in a way that hasn't been done yet. It's
yes.
going to awaken them, Lord.
Yes.
It's going to awaken them to you, and that they will come under that protection, Lord.
Yes.
That these signs will follow those who believe, and in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues.
Yes.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Lord, put that anointing there in whatever means of these different things that she can use to minister, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Let all of us have this anointing
with confirming the word through accompanying of signs.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Today, tomorrow, whenever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Perhaps you included Barb in all this and I didn't see it. But it's on the off chance that you failed to hear Tim, I want to. Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. That she would lay hands on the sick and that they would recover. And that she would be a manifestation of those who preach your word and you confirm those signs. Confirm your words with signs following. Cause that good thing to be done in Barb by your Spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
She got a double dose.
Did she? Okay.
Does that mean I have to be double?
Well, I wouldn't want to.
I didn't say her name when I was.
Yeah,
okay. But that's fine. That's great.
Whatever the Lord wants.
Yeah. You know, there are. There are churches where there's snake handling going on. And they, you know, they talk about Mark 16. But we live in a world where there are snakes. We live in a world where there's a lot of evil, dangerous things. We live in a world where there's poison that you drink. So you don't have to be literal on these things, or not literal. The world supplies that, and we can expect the protection from the Lord. I suppose if for some reason or other we have to go handling snakes, then we can expect His protection. But there are instances in which there are snakes of various sorts that we have to take up, and we can expect His protection with that too. Poison that we have various sorts that we're called on to drink that won't affect us. And Lord, we thank you. Oh my, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Thank you for that. We thank you for the prayer, the anointing that was on our brother here. And Lord, I say it's about time. Well, your time is not our time. But I thank you for that by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
I think the Lord is going to honor your requests in His time, but He's going to honor them.
It's not my request. It's His request.
Well, through you. His request through you.
You know, it's because I don't know yet if we're ready. I know that we're way more ready than we ever have been because of the many truths that God's revealed. And so it's like, Lord, you know, when do we start fearing and having it make? And it's up to Him. It's His work, of course. But
And yet He does us the honor of making us a kind of partner. Now, we're really a junior partner.
Yeah.
But we are partners with Him. We're heirs and joint heirs. We have a say. Now,
we're workers together.
Yeah, we're workers together.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
so
we're workers.
That's probably what Elijah was doing.
Yeah.
The Lord was working with him. He was working with the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And He will make us ready.
Yes.
When He needs us.
Just As much as you need to believe that that anointing is now there. It's when he wants to use it.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I'm thinking here as Keith is talking about praying and, you know, and reminding us that we don't know how to do it. First scripture, which is good. And then, you know, we remind ourselves per scripture that we're not smart enough to figure it out because God said he won't allow that to happen either. And pretty soon you can get yourself into a pretty defeated position like, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I won't be able to figure it out. So then why do I have faith that praying is going to be helpful? You know, so then the mind starts to go. Yet Ken just got up and basically prayed over each of us, but he prayed scripture. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure scripture is right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure scripture came from God. So before you get too concerned about, I can't get here from there, I think if you're in the Word, you certainly can get to where you need to be. And then maybe we could consider the fact that there's someone who's been praying with her husband nonstop for the last couple of weeks, and there are some signs that are going on there right now. So to say that there aren't any signs might be shortchanging what God is doing, even amongst us and with people we know. So don't be on the downside of this. Actually be looking on the upside of this, because there are things that are happening.
Absolutely.
You know, even though it says we don't know how to pray, I mean, you know, even knowing that, it's not, you know, being able to pray and keep praying, even if it's not knowing what to pray for, the right way to pray for it, but the fact that you're doing it, you know, you just got to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know? And he also told us not to plan what we're going to pray. He will give us the words. He will give us what we need.
Yeah.
I think the verse that really resonates in me is, and this isn't going to be every time necessarily, mm-hmm. but it does say, confirming the word. You know, we always say, yeah, we don't need signs, da 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 da. Well, right here, it's saying, yeah, sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. Confirming the word with signs. And that doesn't mean you expect it every time, you know. I mean, we can speak the truth, and it can affect people, and they can accept it and be changed. But there's certain things that he'll confirm it with signs. And I want to see that day.
I do, too.
Amen.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with not getting it. Like what you're saying. If you pray for everything and you get everything all the time, what do you got to look forward to? Because you can just ask for it and you get it.
Yeah, we'd be spoiled brats.
Yeah. You know, it's like somebody once said, if I treat everybody the same, who am I going to treat special? You know.
Yeah.
I don't think we haven't experienced a lot of that yet. So.
No,
that's a good point. It's exactly.
Really comfortable.
Yes.
That is all true, and yet I think we can anticipate very remarkable things ahead of us.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Very remarkable things.
When the Spirit moves, there will be a lot of remarkable things.
Yes.
And glad you are right. And there are examples where people did know how to pray and they invoked the name of Jesus and God answered it. God honored it anyways, even though they weren't quite right in how they went about it. So don't despair. I'm just saying, you can hear a couple of things and you can start to say, well, how's this really going to work out? And you know, and you want to be praying what God wants, that has a much better chance of happening.
You know, and sometimes the heart and the mind are not on the same tune, because your mind might say one thing, but your heart's asking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think God looks past the mind into the heart when you pray. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
And a good thing to remember is probably what keeps you humble is the same thing that Jesus went into an area and could do no miracles there. You know, although it says he healed a few, or a hundred, but so you can end up in a place where there's no faith, and you're not going to see anything happen. You know, and then you just go, oh, move on. You know, where do you want me next, Lord?
You know, he preached a powerful truth to those Jews that believed him on him. He said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, that was a powerful truth.
Yes.
Powerful truth. You know? And then they just despised it. Made them all out of sorts. but I suppose we can expect powerful truths that are true, really true, powerful things. And then people, you know, somehow don't receive it or something, you know.
Well, one of the most powerful truths that I have ever known is the fact that Jesus is a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obvious from the scriptures, and it was obvious up until the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah.
They voted on doctrine. That's how they come up with a lot of things.
You know, Ken, you went around and prayed for everyone else. Did you pray for yourself too, or did you? I mean, I just say you're thinking.
Well,
yeah.
It was on my heart as much for me.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
My biggest thing a little bit right now is the fighting off condemnation of falling short, you know. But God is faithful.
You know, a rising tide solves a whole lot of problems, you know, as far as navigation and so forth goes.
Yeah.
All the reefs and everything that a boat has to be concerned about, tide rises. No problem there. Yeah. And we can expect a rising tide of the Holy Spirit. And those things that are such, I don't know, whatever, dangers, whatever, you know, such obstacles to living the life we want to live, taken care of.
The good part about it is it keeps you humble.
The difference is conviction or condemnation. Condemnation, we know where that comes from.
You're right.
The conviction, the Lord, that's okay. We need that, you know. He will get us there, because his work will be done.
I think I sometimes have a blend of the two. I don't know.
As long as it doesn't stop us from moving forward.
Well, that's right. That's right.
It still tells us in the 12th chapter or 12th verse of the 4th chapter of Hebrews, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and in a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that is the point that we need to understand. There's not anything that God does not see. And he knows the hearts. And so we're trying to pray, and we're not feeling that it's a good prayer or whatever else. But we have to understand that God knows the heart. And he's going as much by what that he sees in the heart is what our lips come up with.
Amen.
Kind of change subject a little bit. I don't remember if it was Tuesday night or last Sunday, but Ken mentioned in Matthew 27, verse 50 or 51, it says, this is after Jesus was crucified. He says, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So I checked the other three gentlemen, and Matthew's the only one that mentions anything about the graves being opened.
Right.
And I thought, you know, as powerful as that is, it's not really mentioned much.
No.
You know, then I got thinking, now, is that the first resurrection or what? You know. But in Mark did mention the torn curtain.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it gave me cause to research that a little bit, and I did, and, you know. But I got to thinking, you know, the people were raised from the dead.
Yeah.
You know. And like you said, it was. And it's not, it's one of these so fast, you can read over that so fast and not even realize what you read.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. That was what jumped out at me, too. And then I looked at all the rest, and it wasn't mentioned anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought that was strange, you know, that only one would report something as big as that.
You know, but then as we discussed it, it kind of popped up a little at the end. For me, it was like when we were talking about when the guy was talking to Abraham and wanted to, and had Lazarus, Abraham had Lazarus by him, and then he's talking to this rich man who was in hell. And he's crying out to Abraham, well, please go tell my brothers, yeah. You know, so they don't, and you know, of course, the comment was, well, even if they heard from the dead, they wouldn't, you know, believe. How does it say?
And here the dead did go into the city.
Yeah, but then I started questioning my own bringing of it, thinking, well, that they went in, but evidently, I mean, it's possible that it didn't affect anybody, just like, because it's like, you know, even if the dead come, you won't believe, you know. Because it doesn't say thousands were won over because of it or anything like that.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Because they appeared.
Yeah,
mentioned that to me, I thought, what would I do if one of my dead relatives came to me? I don't know exactly what I would do. Or
if you weren't saved, would it cause you to be saved?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I think I'd be more afraid of it than anything. But I don't know, you know, but I never saw that before until he brought it home.
It just doesn't give any details.
Nope.
About they spoke to them or anything. It just says they appeared.
Appeared,
to them.
Yeah.
So you don't know what the total outcome was because of that. But yeah, it's amazing. That's a, that is an amazing event when you look at it. I mean, wow. You know.
I say, I don't know. What do I know? But it's my sense that there was resurrection power going on. Mm-hmm. So much resurrection power that it spilled over.
Just like touching German.
Yeah, Jesus was resurrected, and then the power of resurrection was there, and a bunch of other people were too. You know, they were.
But it says many holy people.
Saints.
There are saints who died were raised.
Yeah,
so it wasn't just anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't just anybody.
It was holy people. It was
Well,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, and then is it, well, then did they just go away or what happened?
Yeah, what
did they die again? Thank you, Lord, for giving us another mystery.
Yes.
Although, you know, there was a really remarkable expansion of the church. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved, and you know, it was.
Yeah,
it was a huge.
Because of that too, you know. Yeah. You know, it opened them up enough, and then when they heard the word preached, it caught
them.
You know.
So. You know, the Holy Spirit was really very, very powerful and active then.
Yes.
Maybe part of it was all these resurrected people.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Well, and then the centurion,
yeah,
who was guarding him, saw it and believed that he was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So some people did believe.
Mm-hmm.
What they did with it afterwards, it doesn't say. But
yeah.
You know, it says in the Philippians, the third chapter, it says that I may know him, while talking about Jesus, and the power of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it until we just started talking about it.
About this.
Yeah. And the power of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would just here went and read the last few verses in Matthew, which was another commander. And if he says, lo, and I will be with you always until the end. So he'll be working with you always until the end.
Yeah. One thing that it just is on my mind a fair amount is, you know, when Jesus was talking to Pilate there in the book of John, and he says, I came to bear witness of the truth, and those who are of the truth, those of the truth, hear my voice. Well, I guess there are people who are not of the truth, and they don't hear his voice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way of it.
Maybe it's just people that want the truth. I mean, maybe the truth is mean.
He didn't say that though. They're of the truth.
I know, but I mean
of the truth. They're truth people, truth kind of people.
Yeah. Who want
I suppose
truth.
They want truth.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be their hardest to want truth. I would
right. Think. Right. Yeah.
Because since we've been listening to the scriptures, I have developed an interest in truth. I want truth.
I think you're of the truth.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, wanting and having, is that the same thing? Of the truth or wanting truth? Is that the same thing?
If your heart wants...
Where is grace in that? You know,
in your heart, do you want truth? Is that kind of of the truth?
That was my question.
Yeah.
I was looking for your answer.
If I'm saying something contrary to what you're talking about, I don't hear real good. So.
No. I was asking that, pointing out that same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying someone might say, of the truth, might be different than wanting truth. I think we all want truth. I don't know if I'm so bold to say as I have truth or I'm of the truth, because that starts to cross into a line that someone's making a determination, and I don't know if I can determine that for myself. But I think if your heart is to have truth, and you're diligently seeking it, and you're, you know, pondering the word day and night, you're doing everything you can to be of the truth of yourself.
But it implies some people don't want the truth.
Some don't, and some don't get well. Right. And what about all the saints who see Scripture but just refuse to see it? Right?
It's the truth.
Yeah. That's right. They see truth in the Word, but they go, "No, I don't think that. I'm seeing that right. I'm not seeing that right."
That's not what that means.
Yeah.
I think it means this.
Well, there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Right. So. The way is straight, the path is narrow, right? I mean, there's certainly a lot of pointers to think that it's not automatic.
A lot of times we thought we had the truth and found out we didn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, since I've been here, I've never thought we didn't have the truth. The last 40 years, I've never once walked out here going, "We don't got it."
Although we are anticipating more, you know. I believe there is an anointed fog on truth. And then when the time is right, the fog lifts and we see what we failed to see before.
Oh, totally agree. I'm not saying we're not getting truth. I'm just saying that there are a lot of times that I thought I had it, found out later, not so much.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus prayed in John 17, and he says, "Sanctify them, or separate them unto yourself through your truth. Sanctify them through your truth." He's praying. Your word, the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctify them through your truth. So, remember, Pilate asked Jesus, and Jesus says, "I came to us. I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth?"
Yeah.
And I thought about that too. It's like truth can change in whatever climate you're in. You know what I mean?
My argument with Pilate, you know, John gives a pretty sympathetic version of Pilate.
Yeah.
The man, he was troubled in a very fundamental way. But in that instance, I don't think he waits for an answer.
No.
He just pops off, says, "What is truth?" And then he goes on arrow. He should have said, "Okay, Jesus, explain a little more what this truth thing is that you're talking about."
If he only realized what he had.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if there's every person you want to say, "Really? No. Tell me what you think truth is. I really want to hear your answer to that."
Right.
He didn't want to hear, like the woman at the well, you know.
She was there.
You don't know who you're talking with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to know, really, who he was talking with. Because he kind of already thought he knew, because he's
cute. I really, really like that woman at the well.
Oh, me too. Yeah, that's a good one. And I love the reaction later on by the people she went and shared.
Yeah.
So when they come back and say, "Oh, wait a minute. Now we heard it for ourselves."
Right.
It's a
right.
big deal.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That is a big difference.
Yep.
You know, I think we kind of overlooked that whole setting about the rising of the saints. Because we talk about the Holy of Holies and the veil being torn, and from top down to indicate that God did that.
Yeah.
Some guy just said sneak in and
yeah, right.
Yeah, for the bottom. It's like, well, no one stuck a ladder in here. There's How did that get that?
Really makes that point too. It was from top to bottom.
Yes. And so, which is really, really important from the whole idea of, you know, you're responsible for your salvation, and you could talk directly to God about this. And, you know, there's no buffering going on.
No veil.
No veil, no buffering, no intermediary other than Jesus himself. So.
It makes you wonder, did they realize really what happened at that point?
If they're like us, they probably get it right away.
Probably not. Is Susan okay?
She is. Just had a bad night's sleep, and then she was going to come over. I was over earlier, and she was going to come over later and go back to sleep. And just go around and sleep. Mm-hmm. So she's doing fine. Mm-hmm. And she's fighting things like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Glenn just handed me something, and I'd like to read this if I could, take a little time. It says, it's entitled Pathway Through the Fog. It says, I was standing in thick, heavy fog. I could not see anything through the fog. Then I heard a voice saying, you were standing in a pathway. The pathway is solid, and only the pathway. The area on each side is not, so you must stay on the path. I was to stay on the path that I could not see. The voice told me how I was to go forward on the path and how to remain on the path. Go slow and test each step as you go forward. Remember how you would test the water before jumping in by putting your toes in the cold water to test it? Do the same thing on this path. Put your feet out slowly and test that your feet will be solid on the path before making the step. Do this slowly and with patience to make sure each step is securely on the solid path before taking the next step. It is important to be secure in your present step before taking the next step, because if you are not secure in your present step, you may not be able to make your next step on solid ground. I have no way of knowing how long I was on that path. Time had no meaning. As I walked on the path, I could see the fog lifting. It seemed to be letting up and getting clearer as I went along. The further I went, the more things became visible. I saw many other pathways with only one person on each path. I could see that each path was like the spokes of a giant wheel, and all the paths led to the center. I don't know what was in the center of the hub. That is ahead yet. We all have our own paths to walk on. No one can walk it for us. How we walk it is up to each one of us. We can walk with haste and maybe stumble, or walk patiently, waiting to be guided in our next steps. Waiting to be guided by the Lord in every step you take. So, I think that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And I think it is certainly true that the further down we are in that, the more things are going to get visible. You know? They get visible. The fog will lift. You know? But anyway, that was good.
That was one of those things that the Lord gave me. Oh, you're all boy talk. I can't talk and write the same. So, it wasn't me right here.
That was you, though?
Huh?
That was something that
the Lord gave him.
Yeah.
The Lord gave him. Oh, okay. One praise Lord.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned the fog, it just rang a bell.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how comes the sun? The sun.
Yeah.
S-O-N. Yeah. Yeah.
Love you all.